This is Naysayer, You Are in the Attic. That's the name of the show, you know, whatever. And this is KFJC 89.7. And I'm glad that you're listening to us and that you're hopefully enjoying what we do. Whether you're listening to it live, on the radio, or online, or listening to it in the future, on the archives. Thanks for joining in and listening to us. We are currently listening to Giuseppe Logan doing With My Dog Sam on the And They Were Cool CD off of Improvising Beings. Before that, The Fall doing Hotel Blodel on Perverted by Language LP off of Rush Triad. Was that Brixham? See if they tell us who's singing. No, of course not. There she is. Maybe they tell us. La, la, la. Yeah, Brixa Smith. Who now has a whole book about what it was like to be in the fall and married to Mark Eastman. It's big. Weirdo Begirdo did Swamp UT. That's just an excerpt off of the Quilt Series Sampler Volume 2 on Night Pass Handmade Records. Very nice. DIY all the way. Mathieu Mons Schaefer and Timeblind did Sub Basement Level on the Quality Hotel album or CD. 10 in the Swear Jar did two pieces. The first one was Hot Carl, and the second one was the first one before that was Malafuquana España. They call that a field recording, which meant it was Vaginal Cream Davis before the show just talking about some guy that he thought was hot. She thought that was hot. Sorry. I don't want her to punch me. Vaginal Cream Davis, icon. On the accordion solo CD. And then Frumpies did Deliberate Indifference on Tommy Slitch. Frustration did Faster on Frustration. Solenoid did Bike on the Ingrid 45 off of Audroglint Recordings. And then Antonio Sanchez did Pinta Manta on the Space Echo Mystery Behind on Analog Africa. So much. And we're not stopping. Listen up.
The Blues returns to the KFJC's regular lineup Tuesdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. A rotating cast of DJs will take you down Highway 61 from Memphis to Vicksburg to Los Altos Hills. That's Tuesdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The Blues Collective on KFJC.
Hey, that was Carson Street, who also now has a new show. I think it's Sunday, noon to 3. Sandwich between Dangerous Dan and Spliff Skankin. A great way to enjoy your Sundays. Church with KFJC. Back to the sounds of Giuseppe Logan and then Frig Agogo, KFJC. 89.7.
Talk about this vodka. Come and give me your love. Come and let Jenny. You know, we blew Philadelphia away last night.
And you're listening to Keith Jackson and Jason Adasvik, which it's Rose and Rose on the Rose and Rose. Wait, is it really? I actually picked Rose and Rose. Okay, on the Rose and Rose album on Delmark. Vibraphone, nice. The Frogs, classic, Now You Know You're Black on the Now You Know You're Black 45 off of Matador. Frig a Go Go kicking it. Jenny Walker did Frigalicious off the Frigalicious album. Jenny Walker was a song. And Giuseppe Logan did With My Dog Sam. Peninsula Roller Girls is a women's flat track roller derby league. Let me say that again. Peninsula Roller Girls is a women's flat track roller derby league based in Redwood City. The home teams, the Damas de los Muertos and the Psychopathogens, skate at the Redwood Roller Rink while the travel team competes in bouts around California. Peninsula Roller Girls works to promote female empowerment, physical fitness, fun and community engagement, and this is not written really well. For more information, can be found at PeninsulaRollerGirls.org. You have to put some fixes there. But yeah, PeninsulaRollerGirls.org. I went to a women's roller derby flat track thing last week in Richmond, and the Oakland team won. They kicked. Beat Richmond. It was killer, though. It was tight. Like, close points the whole time. All right, back to Keith Jackson and on to some Silky Swinger and Fatty George doing the White Sand song off of the off of Trip album, the 1971 Austrian psychopop opera. Need I say more? KFJC. Thank you.
good, good day.
Listen, Chevy, do you love the world's famous Supreme King Show?
This is my first time listening.
This is your first time?
My first time.
Well, baby, look, if you love the world's famous Supreme Team, you're talking just a lot of superstar.
Sure, do you love the Supreme Team Show?
Yes, I do.
And what you like about the Supreme Team Show?
The way y'all play y'all music, the way you talk. I like the way you talk now.
Oh, you like the way we talk?
Uh-huh.
Hey, Cheryl, but you know people say we talk too much.
Well, I like the way you sound.
And Cheryl, may I ask you one more question?
Yeah.
Do you like scratching?
Scratching.
K.
Scratching.
F.
Scratching.
D.
Scratching.
C.
89.7 FM and KFJC.org.
Right? The clock reads midnight. I've never been in a fight before. Now my mind's at war. With the voice ringing loud in the middle of this brain. A penny for my thoughts or lucrative exchange. All I wanted was to know how to grow with less pain. A prayer on my knees at night should explain. And my mind kept repeating the phrase. If you want the flower to bloom, you gotta put it out in the rain. Strange all of a sudden, it made sense. Thinking about the trials and tribs I lived through to get me to this. We can live for the shine of the sun, but I'll bet when it rains, yo, we all get wet. Hey yo, the sunshine plays a major part in the daytime.
The sunshine plays a major part in the daytime.
The sunshine plays a major part in the daytime.
The sunshine plays a major part in the daytime.
Knowing nothing in life but to be legit.
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 Living together, never get back. Got you caught up in the mishap. Reality hits with a roller coaster sends a fist pack. Borders to pitch black. Sort of crossover, you slip back. Order a drink, sip that. Another is see your lips crack. Brother, I love to lift that. Burning words like a learned sermon from a burned person. Number than any skin graph. Fall under the slip mats. A word is turning to gift wrap. Currents to fit that. Window, you throw your rock. So when you know no one can stop you. When you feel it like it's hard to continue. Know that God is there with you, above you, beside you. And yearning to get in you. Certain to mend you from the hurting that men do. On earth, we've been through too much. We tend to do what the enemy do. But in the end, only true love will seem to be the light of all men. And you lay down your life for your friends. Cause I'm knowing nothing in life but to be legit.
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 Just living in the city is a serious task.
Uh-huh, living in the city is a serious task.
Ayo, living in the city is a serious task.
I said living in the city is a serious task.
She
broken families inside. Such a beautiful disaster, a devastating victory, a cliche story with a different type of glory. Her friends reminisce about trips overseas with houses that oversee her little slice of poverty, a grim image. Yet she's really not concerned with it, never even touched or crossed the city limits, excluded from the beauty that the dirty city limits. Given tenements and scars with treacherous parks, it's hard to shoot for the stars, it's never dark enough to see them. So on the clock, the freedom with the threat of understanding, handing her time over to algies and crackheads, giving hope to those souls the streets left for dead.
Just living in the city is a serious task.
Living in the city is a serious task.
Hey yo, living in the city is a serious task.
Yes, living in the city is a serious task.
KFJC 89.7. In the background, Jim Hauser on a beautiful 10-inch, double 10-inch, with like seafoam blue, clear, Sleeping Sickness. The album is untitled on Free News Projects. Before that, Mr. Chop, heck yeah, Blow Your Head on the Switched On CD. Before that, the Procussions, very nice. Jiminy Cricket did S. Sparrows for 2 cents on the Raucous CD. Friggs did Bad Word for a Good Thing. And then Silky Schwinger and Fatty George piece called White Sand from Trip off of Zeitgeist. Well, I am getting ready to leave. About 20 more minutes, a little bit less than that. And then I'm out of here. But you are in trusty hands. Because taking my place, or taking up next, not my place, coming in next is Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes back in town, going to be filling in a lot of different places, doing a lot of graves. She always has a really good focus, and it always is a mix. Like sometimes she'll focus on jazz, and sometimes there'll be some hip hop, and sometimes there's a mix of different things. You never know. So she's going to take you there from 2 to 6, and then from 6 to 10, Mitch LeMay. But definitely listen in to Dusty Rhodes. Also, start thinking ahead, folks. Start saving your pennies and your coins and your change. It's around the corner in about a month. Fundraiser time. Penny pinch, not pinch. Start thinking about that, because we want you to help us out. The quicker you give, the more you give, the sooner we stop. All right. Dusty Rhodes coming up. Thanks a lot. See you next week. KFJC 89.7, your source for sound.
first place because of my resistance to be an artist as artists are made of today. And the word artist also is a conception that I tried to get out of in the first place.
But you do perhaps find it a little gratifying to be thought of as an exalted company.
Well, it's always pleasant to receive compliments, but that's not the point here. I really have no thought about that very much. I don't care. Not what I am, in fact. I don't care. I doubt the word to be.
And do you also approve of Mitchell's attempt to dissociate God?
Well, less, because as you said before, that is a spirit. It's not only a movement of 1916, 17, 18. It has always existed in me. So, if I'm not a Dada in the 1916 sense, I at least have something in common with the attitude of Arabia, of Asia, in my way of looking at life.
Ironical causality is one of the techniques by which he makes decisions. But it is always a very prim, conceptual decision that he makes.
Is to make jokes.
It is a joke, and it really is for the joke.
Yes. It is a joke, but it's based on the fact that I have my doubts about real causality, namely a real reason for using causality. Why not use it ironically by inventing a world in which things come out differently from the usual one? We can imagine a new causality in which you invent your own reasons for this or that.
Don't you think so? Do you see a distinction between your own activity, which is a world invented by you, and the activity of the surrealist proper, people like Dali, who tried to work without any conscious effort? One might suppose that your juxtaposition of something which you call a chocolate machine, combined in the same picture with something that you call a symmetry of uniforms and liveries, that is a surrealist activity. But these ideas of yours are always closely related into a system. They're not arbitrary juxtapositions fully. You always seek justification for your act. The surrealists stressed the fact that these juxtapositions were unjustified.
Yes, I do. It's not entirely fantasy. The subconscious really never interested me very much as a basis for not expression of any kind. It's true that I really was very much of a Cartesian. If you could use the word défroqué, which means unfrocked Cartesian, because I was very pleased by the so-called pleasure of using Cartesianism as a form of thinking, logic and very close mathematical thinking. But yet I was also very pleased by the idea of getting away from it. It happened also in several plays of Roussel, a writer who wrote these completely fantastic descriptions of the same order where everything can be done, especially when you describe it in words. Anything can be invented, and in Locus Solus and in A Passion d'Afrique, that's where really I found the source of my new activity in 1911.
In spite of the fact that I think that you were sitting right on top of Cubism, you felt a need after just one or two years of experience of Cubism that you wanted to find a new path for yourself. And I take it that this is the way in which you found it, by an exploration of intellectual and conceptual terms.
The ones you love on KFJC.
Impatient that way that I could see any people for me In fact, I've too busy rather than we need the sending death to ease inspire about the natural of the additional movement in it, which seems to be futuristic. And he is futuristic only because the futurists have spoken of movement. We're speaking of movement at the time. That doesn't make it a new idea of theirs. Movement was in the air. There was something more important in the futurists for me in that case. It was the publication of the fencing or horse galloping and so forth, photos, you know, stuff.
That was by my book.
Yes. And that gave me the real idea for the nude. And it's only later, it was months later, that I saw the Bala, the futurist Bala with his dog and 20 legs. And even there, there was only Bala and I who had the idea of multiplying the legs. But Shuni was entirely different. He really used planes more than lines. In other words, even today you can compare them and see there's no direct influence from painter to painter, especially that I never knew them. I never knew Puccini and met him in the end of January 1912. And I never had any real relationship with him at all. So movement took me out of Cubism, if I may say. Up to then, I wasn't sure. I did the thing and the scene after that, and it was the end of Cubism for me, end of 12. And already some other artists came, and how to get out of Cubism, and I found it in the chocolate grinder, which was completely static then. Although it might move if you let it move, but it was completely a reversal of forgetting about movement, forgetting about Cubism, and finding some new way for my expression. And the source of it, as I said, was Roussel, who gave me the idea of inventing men, so to speak, new beings, whether made of metal or of flesh. The bride is a sort of mechanical bride, if you want to say. It's not the bride itself, it's a concept of a bride that I have to put on the canvas one way or another, but it was more important that I should have thought of it in words, in terms of words, before I actually drew it. What a glass does represent is not a copy of the bride and best clothes or the wife, yet there are parts that are called the bride and the other part of the bride, which is called the bachelor. In other words, you can see the bachelor in the sort of not abstract form, but at least not detailed form, but not natural form. The same with the bride is in sort of invention of a bride, of my own, a new human being, half robot and half fourth dimensional. The idea of the fourth dimension also was very important in that period. Anything that has a three-dimensional form is the projection in our world from a fourth dimensional world. And my bride, for example, would be a three-dimensional projection of a fourth-dimensional bride. All right, then since it's on the glass, it's flat, so my bride is a two-dimensional representation of a three-dimensional bride who also would be a fourth-dimensional projection on the three-dimensional world of the bride.
As you have gathered, the large glass has many layers of meaning, both conceptual and philosophical. It also uses many layers of symbols, primitive or sophisticated, but irony is always present.
Yes, it is an ironical. It really probably took birth in my mind from the fairs, you know, country fairs in France, where they have the wedding scene, and you have big balls that you throw at the heads of the bride, of the bridegroom, and the guests. They have disappeared now, but there used to be in every country fair a little stand And the great joy of the children was to throw big, and then of course the bride would fall out and touch the right place. And she was in white, and the bridegroom in black. And must have been left hand. You see, the Temple of Fair is a milieu for the painters, since that's an influence that I can admit in that case, where I was probably attempted to use, and I did.
All photographs of his fairly clear-cut symbology, very direct kind, man and woman identifying as the heat, and the operations of these, the functions of the machinery, are all explainable in sexual terms. This is the sexual relationship, which is the basic preoccupation of the bath.
Yes. Eroticism is a very dear subject to my in my life, and I certainly applied that liking or that love to my glass. And in fact, I thought it was only an excuse for doing anything, is to give it the life of eroticism, which is completely close to life in general, and more than philosophy or anything like that. And it's an animal thing that has so many facets that it's pleasing to use it as a tube of paint, so to speak, to inject in your productions. It's there, it's right there. I mean, it's a form of fantasy. It's a little to do also with strip bear. Probably was had even a naughty connotation with the Christ, You know, the Christ is strip bear. And it was a naughty form of introducing eroticism and religion. I'm ashamed of what I'm saying.
Well, how do you feel about the work of Arthur Parker, verification in museums?
I have a very definite theory, call it theory, so that I can be wrong, that a work of art exists only when the spectator has looked at it. Until then, it's only something that has been done that might disappear and nobody would know about it. But the spectator consecrates it by saying, this is good. He'll keep it. And the spectator in that case becomes posterity. And posterity keeps the museum full of paintings, don't they, today? My impression is that these museums, called the Prado, called the National Gallery, called the Louvre, are only receptacles of things that have survived, probably mediocrity, because they happen to have survived. There's no reason to make them so important and big and beautiful, and there's no justification for that label of beautiful. They have survived. Why have they survived? It's not because they are beautiful, because they have survived by the law of time. We probably have lost many, many other artists of this same period who were as beautiful or even more beautiful.
And how do you feel about the consecration of your own works in museums?
The same way. I'm not concerned because I don't consider myself any different from the others. And I think my real feeling is that the work of art is only a work of art for a very short period. There's a life in the work of art which is short, it's even shorter than man's lifetime. I call it 20 years. After 20 years, an impressionist painting has ceased to be an impressionist painting because the material is darkened so much. That's no more what the man did when he painted it. All right. That's one way of looking at it. So I apply this rule to all artworks. And they, after 20 years, are finished. Their life is over. They survive, all right, because they are curators of art history. And art history is not art. I don't believe in preserving. I think, as I said, the work of art dies. it's a thing of contemporary life. In other words, in your life, you might see things. It's because it's contemporary with your life.